In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Mitters, here at First String Sports. Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. Come on down here. The store just opened up. My show starts at, 10:05-ish, 10:06. And the gates open, First String Sports, right at 10 o'clock. They'll be open till 4 o'clock. The guys do an incredible job here. There's people already here buying Letterman's jackets, getting their Letterman's jackets fitted, and that's the room where I do my show. Looking at Letterman's jackets from San Joaquin Memorial, Kingsburg, Fresno Christian, Bullard, Emmanuel, Buchanan. Yeah, come on down to First String Sports. They've been my sponsor since day one. They do a great job here. So, again, good morning to you guys. I hope you had a really good week. I feel like, we're in the thick of football, man. We are at the halfway point, so to speak. I know there's going to be playoffs and hopefully some state runs for a lot of our football teams, but this week it was a bye week for a lot of the teams up and down the central section. Obviously, there were a lot of games, but a lot of our Fresno and Clovis schools, our local schools around here, had bye weeks before they hit league play. There was one team that played in the CMAC and one school that played in the track last night. We're going to be going over those scores in just a second. We got a really good show today. I'll be talking with Gabe Camarillo after the break. Gabe is the host of Home Field Advantage every afternoon from 3 to 5, actually, except for Fridays. He does an incredible job interviewing coaches and players, and he's producing the show again today. So we're going to be chatting it up with Gabe, talking about some of the games that he went to. I think he was at a couple, and we had a game last night broadcast on 1430 ESPN. It was Sunnyside and Roosevelt. Jose Gonzalez, Coach Pat Hill, which is always an awesome experience broadcasting a game with Coach Hill. If you've, he's one of the best, man. If you listen to Fresno State football games, he's emotional. He gets into it. He's not afraid to share his opinions, and he's just a wealth of knowledge. So always fun to broadcast with him. And so last night we had the Roosevelt and Sunnyside game where Sunnyside won 16-7. Interesting game, so I'll be breaking that down a little bit more. But, yeah, after the break, talking with Gabe about scores. At around 10:30, a little after 10:30, Yosef Ferris, the head coach of Justin Garza Guardians. Their team is 3-2 right now, and they had a bye last night and before they hit CMAC play. So getting to know Yosef more, he's an amazing coach, and he's become a good friend of mine and somebody that I know I could text, and he'll get back to me. And we love talking football, among other things. He's a great family man as well. At 11 o'clock, Brian Wells, and he is associated with Fresno Unified. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. It actually kind of caught me by surprise. I heard that Edison was going to be having some upgrades to their gym, but I didn't know it was going to be a full brand new gym added on to the other gym. So they had a big ceremony, I believe it was on Wednesday night, and brought some of the teams out that participate in that gym. And they had the band was there, and so it was a big production. So I'll be talking about Brian, about the new Edison gym, and maybe some other projects that they have on deck in Fresno Unified. I know stadiums is always a big hot topic, a big issue. Right? What's the next stadium going to be? Is there any plans for a next stadium? You hear a lot about Bullard, how they don't have a home field necessarily. And, we did the game at Sunnyside last night, but it's shared by all teams in Fresno Unified. And then, obviously, McLean Stadium as well. So talking with Brian about that, and if you guys didn't know, his son is David Wells, San Diego State. For that, Clovis North, part of a Valley Championship team. And right now he's latched on with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So talk to Brian about that and see where David is with that. And then at around 11:35, we have our 14:30 ESPN Student Athletes of the Week, a couple guys from Buchanan. We normally don't do a co. Actually, we've had a couple volleyball teams in here where I've texted the coaches, and I'm like, could you bring in a player to be our 14:30 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week? And they're like, can I bring four? I'm like, sure, that's fine. And they're seniors. So we got Jaden Mandel and Colton O'Toole, two big parts of the Buchanan 5-0 football team that's state-ranked. And you know about Jaden Mandel, committed to Fresno State. So we'll be talking about that. And Colton O'Toole is a great baseball player, Division I guy. Talking a little bit about baseball, but obviously a lot about the football season so far and you know what those kids are looking forward to in the future as well. So, yeah, so that's the show. 2 hours of pure high school talk here on the Central Valley Sports Report. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Meadors, PaulMeAdors. And I also have a couple other things before I get into scores. Next week, I have a special interview. This is an interview that I've wanted to do for a long, long time. It's going to be a two-parter, two segments for the final hour. And this is a name that resonates still to this day in the Central Valley and, heck, nationwide as well. I mean, this kid had an incredible high school career. Just a great story about how he finally made it to the major leagues and the impact that he's had on the Central Valley, and especially Clovis Unified. And I'm talking about Clovis West grad McKay Christensen. So he agreed to do an interview, and I can't wait. We're going to talk about his 1993 football team that went 14-0, beat Bakersfield in the championship game in front of, I think, 10,000 people. Went on his Mormon mission for 2 years after he was picked number 6 overall in a Major League Baseball draft. Committed to his Mormon mission, did that for 2 years, played in the minor leagues, got up to the majors to play with the White Sox and the Mets and the Dodgers. And, he's a super nice guy and one of the best athletes of all time in the Central Section. So that's something to look forward to. Also, I want to give a shout-out. Last night, or yesterday, I guess all day, right, was my 22nd anniversary. So happy anniversary to my wife, Lori. You know, I broadcasted the Sunnyside of Roosevelt game on our anniversary. So, you know, hats off to her. She's incredible and a great support. So happy anniversary to us yesterday. All right, let's get into some scores. And a lot of leagues have started already. The East Sequoia League, the Mountain League, North Yosemite League, the Ocean League, the South Sequoia League had all league games last night. In the East Sequoia League, Corcoran beat Woodlake 31-22. Orange Cove beat Granite Hills 35-12. Orosi beat Lindsay 49-21. And Strathmore beat Farmersville 49-0. In the Mountain League, Mission Prep beat Napomo 49-13. And in quite possibly the game of, it's up there. It's going to be a top five game of the year. Paso Robles beat Lompoc 34-33 on a last second play. It's on Twitter. There was a lateral on 4th and 6 from about the 8-yard line with under a minute to play. The quarterback he ran on a keeper. He was stuffed. The whistle didn't blow. So pitched it back to a dude, and he ran it in for a touchdown. That's how Paso Robles won their game last night. Santa Ynez, be on the lookout for these guys. They're pretty good. Beat Rigetti 31-11. And St. Joseph, who is a top eight team right now in the Central Section, beat Arroyo Grande 52-17. In North Yosemite League action, Fresno High beat Hoover 14-12. Madera South beat Sanger West 30-6 in the game that we did last night. Sunnyside 16, Roosevelt 7. And there wasn't a lot of action in the second half, to be honest. All the action was in the first half. Tanner Wilson threw two touchdowns and ran in two two-point conversions, so they don't believe in extra points, at least kicking them. And, one of the big storylines in that game was, the Pat Hill connection to the Roosevelt coaches. Roosevelt's head coach, Dwayne Wright, played running back for him, was an NFL guy, and Bernard Berry is a receivers coach for Roosevelt. And so it was just really neat to hear Pat talk about those two guys and the adversity that each of them went through. Obviously, Bernard Berry had a really good NFL career. Pat talks about how when they recruited him, from up north, from Atwater, how he was about 150 pounds, and, you know, he was a sprinter, so he had really good speed, but his leg strength wasn't there, and how he really worked on that and took it serious and got to the weight room and did everything right and, you know, became an NFL guy. And then Dwayne Wright, you know, he, you know, did the junior college route and actually quit for a little bit, quit football, went in to talk to Coach. He was like, man, I'm done. Coach was like, no, you're not. No, you're not. It's called adversity, son. All right, let's get through it. And so here he is coaching Roosevelt. So that was a fun storyline in last night's game. Continue with some scores. Matilda Torres, look at these guys. Beat McLean 34-7. Go Toros. Ocean League, Atascadero beat San Luis Obispo 28-24. Pioneer Valley beat Cabrillo 33-6. And Templeton beat Santa Maria 21-17. In non-league action, a game that we were interested in, you know, we had that Clovis West and Edison game. We were curious where Edison stood. Clovis West beat him 38-0. Well, last night, Bakersfield has been up and down this year. They beat Edison 38-20 in Bakersfield. Bakersfield Christian righted the ship. They beat Tulare Western 28-25. Clovis East, look at them, Timberwolves 43-14. Kerman 14. So storyline there, Lamaj Travis, really good running back for East, scored 4 touchdowns. Kerman had a great story going in there, 5-0. Coach Damon Jenkins did an incredible job. But, man, Timberwolves, they were averaging 49 points going into that game, scored 43 against Kerman. Dos Palos beat Chowchilla 42-7. Golden West beat Tehachapi 34-13. And Emmanuel beat Mendota for their first win of the year, 28-7. Kingsburg all over Tulare Union 49-28. I got a few stats on that. Maybe when I bring Gabe on after the break, we'll talk about that game a little bit more. Lemoore all over South Bakersfield 54-0. That game was 40-0 at halftime. And in a game that I know Gabe actually made a prediction that Mount Whitney would upset Reedley, and they sure enough they did. They beat them 20-13. Porterville beat Exeter 34-6. Sierra Pacific beat Foothill 31-3, and Washington Union beat Menachie 41-6. All right, so a little bit of rundown before we break into the games a little bit more. Coming up after the break, going to talk with Gabe Camarillo about all these scores and much, much more. Coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. I always got to let 21 Pilots play out whenever I can. All right, Gabe Camarillo. Gabe is the host of Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday. One of my partners in crimes, along with Jose Gonzalez. And Gabe, I think you were at the Sunnyside and Roosevelt game for at least the second half, but where were you at in the first half? Where were you checking out last night?
I was checking out some McLean versus Torres High School football, the first ever homecoming for the Toros.
All right, what'd you see there? Yeah, it looks like the Toros, man. I did see some highlights on TV last night, and, you know, they walk out, and they look like a football team, man, for being such a new school. What's up with those guys? What's going on?
I think really it's just the MO about them, the swagger they have about them. They love to hit hard. They have a great head coach in Coach Marquez. And, you know, they've won some big games already in their young history. They already beat Madera. They had an exciting win last week over Roosevelt on the game's final play. I think that's really conducive to the momentum they're having. And they played a really good McLean team, too. McLean had a running back by the name of Jordan Stewart, who I think is one of the best in our section. And I don't throw that around lightly. But they were able to keep him contained. They got their own big plays. Jose Soriano is Torres' star quarterback. And when I was there for the first half, I just saw Torres play physical football, win the line of scrimmage, and they continue that to win the game 34-7.
And then you switched over, and you were hanging out a little bit at the Sunnyside and Roosevelt. And, not a very exciting second half. And that first half had a little bit of action with Sunnyside and their quarterback Tanner Wilson throwing a couple touchdown passes. But what did you see on the field? I think you were on the field in that game, just watching it, right?
Yeah, I was watching the game, and I was thinking about just Sunnyside and Roosevelt, the Fresno Unified rivalry. Both these schools are pretty close to each other. I grew up in the area. I still live in the area. So I know that if you didn't go to Sunnyside, you probably went to Roosevelt. And so I was thinking more about just Fresno Unified football. I know you're going to talk to Brian Wells in hour number two, but I'm thinking about two programs on the rise. Roosevelt right now, they don't have a win, but I know Dwayne Wright's going to turn that ship around soon. And already Sunnyside's on the up and up. They look good this season with Tanner Wilson at quarterback. I know they've had their ups and their downs, and they've been unhealthy at times this year, but I do think they're still the favorites to win the NYL. And I was just thinking, more so than the game, just that Fresno Unified football, I know it's had its rough spots in the last 10 or so years, but these are two programs that symbolize the rise, hopefully, for some of these teams in that district.
Yeah, we talked about Dwayne Wright, and obviously Bernard Berrien is there as well, and Bernard... Coach Berrien has been up Buchanan before Roosevelt. And when you assemble a coaching staff like that, man, who wouldn't want to play for coaches that have NFL experience and know what it's like as far as the ups and downs of a football season and can relate to kids? And one thing that Coach Hill said on air last night is the GPA of Roosevelt has just it's been a big improvement this last year with Coach Wright. Just attention to details, and I think when a coach, you know, pours into kids more than just, you know, plays and getting better as a football team or as a player, and focuses on the little things that are going to go longer in life, right? I think that says a lot for a coach, and the kids respect that. They see that like, oh, coach cares about my grades. I better get my grades up. So I think that's a big thing.
Absolutely. And I talked to Dwayne Wright, too, on my show, and he said kind of the same thing, right? He isn't so worried about results year one. I mean, obviously, that's the ultimate goal, right? You want to start winning football games. But I've always said this on everything, you know, on my show, in conversations. I believe high school football is not necessarily about winning football games. It's about teaching these young men lessons they'll learn for the rest of their lives. And if you do that well, well, then the byproduct is winning football games and the glory that comes with Valley Championships and having a ring for the rest of your life that symbolizes teamwork and what it took to win a title. But I do think at the end of the day, what Dwayne Wright's doing at Roosevelt is more than just trying to win a football game. It's trying to teach these young men lessons that maybe they didn't have. Maybe they don't have another outlet to help them learn these things about accountability, about work ethic. So I do admire what Dwayne Wright's doing, and I know soon he will get a win and he will have that Rough Rider program looking really good.
No, absolutely, and those kids didn't give up in that game, and they, you know, they got a couple good players defensively. Coach Hill was impressed by number 56 for Roosevelt, and so yeah, so hopefully they're going to get a win soon. But yeah, Roosevelt and Coach Wayne Wright, I think they are in good hands. I want to talk a little bit about Clovis Weeds, man. Those Timberwolves, they keep winning, and that was a game that you and I were curious about between them and Kerman. You know, Clovis East 43, Kerman 14. I think it was fairly close for a while. I think it was a one touchdown game at one point. I think 21-13, but then Clovis East just pulled away. One thing that I was impressed in that game is, we talk about Ty Miller. He's on my show a few weeks ago. Just a great kid, sophomore, had an incredible touchdown to interception ratio. But, you know, I think the mark of a good team is a balanced type offense. And last night, their running back, Maj Travis, scored four touchdowns, busted out a big one. So, yeah, those Timberwolves, they're still looking good, aren't they?
Yeah, that offense is super well-rounded. I know the passing attack gets a lot of praise, and rightfully so, but Lamaj Travis is a really good running back. I remember watching him last year against Buchanan, and he's able to take 7, 8, 9 straight carries and not come off the field. He's a workhorse, so they're going to need him. They're going to need Ty Miller. They're going to need all their weapons coming into track play. But before they get into track play, let's just take a moment to appreciate what the Clovis East Timberwolves have done. They've won 5 games, something they haven't done since 2009. They haven't started 5-0 since 2006. We're talking about the Tim Murphy glory days. So it's been a decade since Clovis East has seen a program like this. I know they've had their rough times, but This process started with Ryan Reynolds, and Brandon Nagel has done a fantastic job carrying over what Reynolds started. I know Nagel was on Reynolds' staff last year, so he knew what it took to bring Clovis East back to relevancy, and here they are in the middle of the track title conversation. You have to say that because they're one of the three 5-0 teams currently in that conference.
Yeah, they're absolutely no pushover. I know Buchanan and Clovis West and Central get a lot of love, but I mean Clovis and Clovis North and Clovis East, they're gonna give every team a tough battle this year. So looking at Clovis East schedule to start track play next week, which would be September 30th, they got Clovis North and Clovis West, then Central and Clovis, and they finish the year with Buchanan. And then Kingsburg, those guys keep winning too, right? And Kingsburg beat Tulare Union. I got some stats here from Coach Wilson. So Trace Jackson, their running back, again, that kid, five games, 500-yard rushing games, rushed for 123 yards on 17 carries and two touchdowns. That's pretty standard for that kid. Ethan Winslow, their quarterback, threw for 236 and three touchdowns. Yeah, Kingsburg keeps rolling. But then if you look at their schedule, it's a pretty tough schedule moving forward. You got Washington Union on September 30th. A little cough there on that one. There's a reason why. October 7th, then they play those Kerman Lions. And then the big one on October 14th against Central Valley Christian, and then Reedley, and then Selma. So I actually want to talk a little bit about the Mount Whitney and Reedley game. I heard you on your show driving home from work, and you talked about that game. You're like, look out, guys. Mount Whitney isn't as bad as their record shows. They've played a lot of teams tough in their losses. What did you see in knowing that Mount Whitney would give Reedley not only the game, but actually was going to win that game?
Yeah, I knew Mount Whitney is just that program with Nathan Chamberlain now in his fourth year. They're starting to buy into what he's selling, and the culture there is really fantastic. I'm really high on the Pioneers as they enter East Yosemite League action, because Mount Whitney, they upset Redwood last year at the end of the season. They upset Tulare Union to start this season. They're a team that if you overlook them, and maybe Reedley wasn't, I don't know, but if you even don't give them 100% effort, Mount Whitney will surprise you. And heck, even if you do give them 100%, they could still beat you straight up. So I think Mount Whitney is an underrated team coming into EYL play. That game was impressive for the EYL. So too was Golden West going down to Tehachapi, a 5-0 team, and beating Tehachapi, a team that was ranked higher in Division II. For Golden West, a team that is also on a rebuild with Travis Anderson in his first year there, that's a huge win for his program. That's the kind of win that gets your guys fired up, gets your alumni, gets your boosters fired up, because that's a big win against a tough road opponent. Yeah. Tehachapi, no pushover. So Golden West, Mount Whitney, Porterville's 5-0. All of a sudden, the EYL, it's looking even better than it did in the preseason. So watch out for East Yosemite League action. Redwood's still the favorite in that league, but it's not going to be easy by any means for the Rangers or anyone.
Now, good stuff. And then, you know, I mentioned earlier in the show, the track teams, except for Clovis East, had a bye. And for the C-Mac, Edison played at Bakersfield. They all had byes. So, you know, September 30th, track starts, C-Mac starts. We got Buchanan and Clovis West. We got Central and Clovis on Thursday. And I could say with confidence that you and I, we're going to be broadcasting that game together on a Thursday night special. And then the Clovis North and Clovis East game. Any thoughts about any of those? Well, hey, let's talk about Clovis and Central, since you and I are going to be broadcasting that game.
Well, it's always fun when Kyle Biggs returns to the high school where he led the Cougars to Central Section Championships. And I know that storyline's always played out every time Kyle Biggs plays Clovis, but especially when it's at La Monica Stadium, especially with Clovis looking good this year. They're 3-2 and a bit of a rebuild with Aaron Wilkins, but I think they're almost ahead of schedule because no one expected them to have three wins up to this point, and I feel confident saying that. I think Central, they shouldn't overlook Clovis. I know Central's going to be the heavy road favorite because of who they are, because of their speed, their offense, and some of the teams that they've beat this year. But Clovis has faced some really good competition as well. Their only losses are to Long Beach Poly and Salinas, both teams ranked by Cal Preps in the top 50 of the state. So I do think Clovis is going to come into this game with their own brand of football. Last year we saw a spread attack. We saw Clovis try and get the ball to their playmakers outside, get the ball to their electric running back Risley. This is a very different Clovis team. You're going to see them run the ball physical between the tackles. You're going to see Deegan Rose make some plays with his arm if he has to. And Coach Wilkins told me this week that Deegan Rose is right up there. Already through five games in his varsity career, he's right up there with some of the best Wilkins has ever coached, including a young man by the name of Josh Allen.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's, we're going to get a – actually, we saw him in the Long Beach Poly game, and it's one of those games we've talked about. Like, all right, we're going to flush that game. Long Beach Poly, they're not going to lose during the regular season. They're going to walk to a 10-0 season. But, yeah, I'm really curious to see what Central's going to bring in that game, and then, you know, going against a freshman quarterback, Deegan Rose, who's who could be an all-timer at Clovis.
And I wouldn't put too many expectations on him this early. Yeah, I know exactly. I just did that, but I mean, this is obviously going to be his first ever track game, and Central has a different speed defensively. I do think Central is the favorite to win this one, but I still think Clovis isn't going to get blown out like they have in past years.
No, I agree. And then the reason why I did the little cough on the when I mentioned the Kingsburg and Washington Union game is because 1430 ESPN, we're going to do a back-to-back, a Thursday and Friday doubleheader. So we're going to be broadcasting that game, Kingsburg at Washington Union. Really looking forward to that. All right. Good job by you, my friend. Maybe we might be able to talk to you a little bit after 11 o'clock hour. You could follow him at @GabeCamarillo_. And make sure you listen to his show, Home Field Advantage, every afternoon. Good job, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
You bet. All right. Coming up after the break, we have Justin Garza, head coach. Yosef Ferris, he is here at First String Sports. Always love talking to Yosef. He's a great guy. He's had that great experience with the Atlanta Falcons we'll be talking with. He's got a couple stud athletes on his team as well. And didn't play yesterday, but he's about to hit CMAC action. So we'll be breaking that stuff down as well on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report. You found us on 1430 ESPN. 2 hours of pure high school goodness every Saturday morning, 10 to 12, here at First String Sports. It's always great when Yosef Ferris and I get together and talk, and we're here in the Letterman's Jacket Room. And what I like to do here, we got a couple Facebook live feeds, and so you can watch on there as well. You can actually go back and watch it, and I know a lot of my friends and family do, but I like to make it look good here on the table. We got that nice banner, Central Valley Sports Report. I like to put out either hats, because if we don't have one of those chairs, right, with the school logos and the emblems and the colors, if we don't have a chair, then I like to bring out the hats. And so I got the Justin Garza hats. What do you think of those,
Coach? I think those are really nice. I haven't seen those yet. I might have to buy a couple.
You haven't even seen the hats. Yeah, these are like the trucker hats, right? Yeah. A little bit of a flat bill. Are you a flat bill guy, or are you like the rounded?
You know what?
What are you?
A little bit of a round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You and I, we share a lot of similarities, but one is, I think, the shapes of our head, right? We shave our head.
Yes,
and sometimes,
yes.
Yeah, the flat bill doesn't quite work, and you look a little goofy, or at least I do.
Yeah.
You probably look good, but, you know, you got to get a little round that bill.
I like the trucker hat, though. I mean, I'm going to have to talk with a couple guys here at First String Sports and see if I can get a couple of these.
Or 10. Or 20.
Yeah.
Or 30.
We need some.
Yeah.
We definitely need some.
All right. So you guys are 3-2 right now. It's your first year of varsity football. I had the bye week yesterday until you hit league play. And we had this discussion, I think, around this time last year. I went back to my notes. And you're around this time last year. And you know, your first year. And, you know, did you have a full 10-game schedule last year?
No.
Was it 8?
We did have 10, but 2 of them got canceled to COVID.
Okay.
And so we ended up playing 8.
And that was purely JV.
Yeah.
With how many freshmen and sophomores last year, if you remember? Like, it was just one team. There was no freshman team, just JV.
I think we had, like, 10 sophomores.
Okay.
Yeah.
And all those guys are now up on varsity, pretty
Not
much.
All of them, no. Some of them stayed down on the JV team.
Okay.
So we had about, I'd say, maybe five sophomores last year that contributed. London didn't play for us last year.
Yeah.
He only played 2 games for us at the end. We have about 5 guys that contribute in that. It's mostly a younger sophomore class right now. Last year was a young freshman class.
So you're 3-2 this year with a lot of those same kids. I guess reflecting where you are now, are you like super happy? I know you got a lot of work to do and all that stuff, but I mean, 3-2, you guys won 3 varsity football games.
Yeah, where we're at now, I'm very happy with. There's still a lot of growth that needs to happen, much like you said, but from where we started, when we first got there in May, when they were just coming into their freshman year and their sophomore year. I mean, it's night and day. We've had a lot of growth character-wise. We've had a lot of growth football-wise. We've had a lot of growth just weight room-wise. There's just been so much growth, but there's just still so much,
yeah,
so much more of a ceiling that we got to get to. You know, we're not even close to our potential. It's a very talented group. They're going to be one of the only groups ever coached by a varsity team for 4 years, you know, and so our varsity coaching staff for 4 years. You know, George Petrosans does a great job on the offense. Justin Nass does a great job with the defense this year. They had Damon Jenkins last year as their DC, who's now at Kerman doing great things. Yeah. So it's a really good staff, a really good group of kids, and we're excited. We're excited for the future.
And I was able to go to your Thursday game, the first three quarters against Kalinga. That was on a Thursday night, and yeah, I saw a couple dudes. Yeah. Your quarterback was you know, as advertised, as far as what I had heard, and you mentioned London Alexander, and what a great story that kid is. And so you knew I saw the highlights of him returning kicks. You know, that opening kick against Emmanuel was really electric to get your varsity season started. And then, you know, he's a fast dude, and when he's out in space, no one's going to get him.
He's different. There's no question about that. You know, me and George were talking about it, Petrosans. You know, he's coached some really high-level athletes, too, over there at Clovis West with, you know, Caleb Kelly and
Adrian.
Darian Owens.
Yeah.
You know. And those teams at Bullard had some dynamic guys. Now, nobody's as good as Anthony McCoy. Anthony McCoy's the best high school kid I've ever coached and seen play, who's with Jenkins at Kerman right now. But he's probably the best athlete I've ever coached. But London is definitely making a case for being in that top five. He just has a different twitch about him. You know, coaches always talk about when they see it, they see it. Well, I watched him run in PE class, and I saw it. So it's like, get him out.
Okay, so you mentioned two games last year, right? Just a big-time unknown. Like, when did you talk about him? Like, when did you first see him? You mentioned PE, and I heard he ran some, like, 4.3-something 40 this summer. It seems like a Disney thing so far, right? Like, as far as, like,
it is.
Look at this kid's coming out of nowhere, and he's might get a D1 offer soon.
It's just strange. It's, you know, he was at Central East as a freshman, but that was the COVID year. So, you know, he kind of slipped through the cracks there, and then, you know, he lives in the Garza area, so he came to Garza. You know, Sean Garrick, who is the defensive coordinator at Central, had texted me and said, hey, I got this guy. There's this guy. You know, he's going to be coming to you. You're going to have to work with him on some grades and some eligibility things. And, you know, we as soon as we got there, we talked with them and we got him going in some classes. And, you know, the COVID year online was tough on every kid.
Yeah.
You know, tough on every kid. And so we got him going and he was practicing with us and finally got him to and yeah, he in one of the mornings he ran a 4.3 40. It was hand time, obviously. And when you see somebody run that fast, there's only a few people I've seen run that fast. You know what it looks like. It just looks like they're gliding across the air. And I text all of our coaches. I said, I got this kid, and they're laughing at me.
Yeah,
oh yeah,
yeah, right, yeah,
sure,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And then, sure enough, he shows up to practice, and they're all like, oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So he's got it, but he's still got a lot of growth.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of maturity that needs to happen on his part. And it's a continual day-to-day deal with him, as it is with all of these kids, because they're so young. They're so young. And, you know, we're just trying to help them grow as men. And then the football is just the tool to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's what we care about. We care about him graduating. We care about his GPA. And, you know, the football will take care of itself.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know? Talking with Yosef Ferris, head coach of Justin Garza High School. And Caleb Matthews, too. I'm going to talk about this kid. And, you know, he's a sophomore. He looked in complete control in the game that I saw. Just a good command of the offense, confident. Seemed to me like he had the right amount of balance between, you know, being confident, right, and being the dude out there, right? And, you know, you want your quarterback to be a dude, right? And so I think he's got a lot of that stuff, right?
Yeah, he has tremendous upside. You know, only a sophomore playing in a a college-style offense, an RPO offense, pre-snap leverage offense, you know. He's having to make a lot of decisions pre-snap, and he's having to make a lot of decisions post-snap that affect how our offense go. He's such an important part of our offense that how he's handling it for being so young is actually a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous deal for him, especially because the kid is going to play college football somewhere, so he's already learning the system. You know, and George has done a great job with quarterbacks in the past. Obviously, Adrian Martinez was the biggest one.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, Caleb understands the game of football. He works hard. He's starting to lead. He's starting to become a leader, which is very important for the quarterback position. And I'm excited. We were sitting down after practice on Thursday, me and George, and he walked up and, you know, Caleb obviously says bye every day to us, shakes our hand, you know, and leaves and then walks away. And then George goes, I still can't believe he's so young.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And he's doing so well.
Yeah.
You know, so we're excited.
Good.
You know, we're excited. There's going to be some growing pains coming here in the CMAC for all of us. But it's just a great opportunity for us to get better and for us to get into our playoffs more than battle tested.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Are you, really quick, are you guys based Division II or III?
Three.
You're three.
Yeah.
Based Division
III. Based Division III.
Okay. So for those that don't know what that means, so for football and all sports, if whatever base division you are, and that's predetermined before the season starts, you can move up or down one division based on the rankings from Cal Prep. So Justin Garza High School, if they have, you know, a good year, they could be moved up to Division II. They have a bad year, they can move down to Division IV or stay in Division III, which is most likely. All right, you mentioned the CMAC. So let me just, when I rattle off these schools, that's almost like a little name association, right?
Yeah.
So you got Sanger, Bullard, Edison, San Joaquin Memorial, and then finish the year against Madera. What comes to your mind for those 5 weeks in a row?
What an exciting opportunity for us to test ourselves against top-level competition.
Good answer.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, there's one thing about this team and about this staff. We're not scared of anybody. You know, we're going to go out there and we're going to do our best. We're going to prepare the best we can. We're going to practice the best we can. We're going to go out there and compete the best we can. And we talk about it all the time with our team because, you know, adversity, and I think this is across the board because I was talking to Kyle about it too at Central. And you know, kids nowadays, when things get hard, they tend to turn and point outward instead of looking inward and trying to stay positive with their teammates. So we've been preaching that since day one. And so I think we're ready for the adversity test because we're going to face some adversities, no question about it. Every team does, even the championship team. It's just that championship teams overcome it better than everybody else. So we're teaching them how to overcome those situations. And I think going through this CMAC, this is going to be a great opportunity for us to work on that. How to overcome adversity, how to stay together, how to be positive, and just focus on each play like it has a history, life of its own. Don't worry about the last play. I don't care what the score says. As long as I walk away and we played our tail off and I feel like I didn't get out physical, you know, then I'm happy. You know, the Stone Ridge Christian game and the Sonora game, you know, those were teams that I didn't really have much info on because they're not, you know, they're not from this area, but they were some big physical teams that ran the double wing, the old Tim Murphy double wing, eat the clock up, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and then a triple option team. You know, it's untraditional offenses, and our boys, and they were bigger than us, but our boys didn't back down, and they played physical, you know.
Everybody's hitting everybody in that type of offense that you're playing against.
Yeah.
You're hitting
and it's like, you know, Emmanuel, they wanted to out-physical us, you know. Stone Ridge Christian, they wanted to out-physical us. Sanger West wanted to out-athlete us. You know, Kalinga wanted to out-athlete us. Sonora wanted to out-physical us. Sanger's going to want to out-physical us. Bullard's going to want to out-physical us. Edison's going to want to out-physical us. All these teams are going to want to out-physical us. And so far, we've answered the bell. I don't think we've been out-physical. Now, we may have made some mistakes that we can control, you know. It's not our guys being scared. It's not our guys being lesser athletes. It's not our guys being out physical. It's things that we can control that are young mistakes, you know, and that's the beauty of what we got going on. Now, we're going to play some elite teams here, you know, and we just want to fight and compete. Yeah. and get better each day, each game. And when we hit the playoffs, who knows?
Come what may.
Who knows?
You got me fired up right there, man. I'm ready to run through a wall for you. All right. So, Bullard, all right, you obviously got a lot of connections. Right?
Yeah.
You coached there. You played there October 7th. Talk about some of the things that you think you might be feeling going into that game.
That game's always one that I want to perform well in. And I say I because it just means a lot to me, even though this is a Wii sport, and I hate people that say I. But there's no question that the Bullard game means a little something different to me. You know, Donnie, obviously the guy that I cut my teeth with, I learned under. He was my head football coach. He taught me how to be a head coach for so long. Just so much tradition there, so much history there between me and the school, that obviously I'd be lying if I said it didn't mean much. But we know we're building a program right now, and I can't wait for the day that we're already an established program to be able to play that game. But we're building a program right now, and we're going to go out there and give it our best shot. You know, it's Bullard's always tough. Mm-hmm. Don't get lost in their record now.
Yeah,
you know, Donnie always gets those guys to play hard, especially going in the playoffs. Very dangerous group. Very dangerous team.
Yeah, they're 1-4, I believe, right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they've been in most every game, and you know, we did that game against Hanford, first game of the year, and you know, it was tight, and then got a little gas in that fourth quarter, and, you know, things like that happen. But yeah, that game is going to be you know, an emotional one for you guys and for your program. And yeah, I totally understand what you're saying, but I want to definitely talk about the Atlanta Falcons. But really quick, I want people to know how many kids on your roster, and so what, 37 and juniors and sophomores only, no seniors.
No seniors. About 37. I think we're at, 37. All juniors, all sophomores. I'd say about 90% sophomores. You know, very, very young talent. You know, that has a lot of growth that still needs to happen, but if we were playing JV football with this group, or if we were a varsity team looking at this group as a JV football team, we would be super excited about this group. And the fact that they're coming out there and they're competing against varsity teams and winning, you know. And, you know, they competed in the 7-on-7 leagues, you know, over the summer against Buchanan, you know, against Bullard. You know, they made it to the semis in the Fresno State tournament. So there's a lot of upside to this group, a lot of just a lot of bright spots.
Yeah.
You know, it's a special group.
Yeah.
Special group.
Is there when you and I get together, time goes by so fast. We got to talk about the Falcons stuff. All right, really quick. In 2 to 3, you can even say 4 years in your mind, and maybe talking with your administrators, what is the landscape going to look like compared to Central High, just as far as population and sharing things and all that stuff? What does that look like?
It's supposed to be split. You know, so I, you know, the school was built for about 2,800 students, you know, and Central had 4,500, I think, on their campus. And so that, you know, it's supposed to be split. You know, the district was drawn in a certain way that it would split them. They're even talking about sending kids to Central West still as a separate school, not even connected to Central East anymore. So that will even, you know, kind of lighten the loads on both campuses, and three campuses if you include in West. But you know, we're getting all the Rio kids. We're getting 70% of the Glacier Point kids. Central's getting 30% of the Glacier Point kids and 100% of the LCAP kids. And so that's kind of how that's split.
Okay.
I don't know if it'll stay that way or what will happen. But that's kind of what the district has mapped out right now. So we should have about 2,500. They should have about 2,500.
Wow. Okay.
That should look.
That's like maybe a 3-year type projection.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, you and I actually had a little bit of conversation before you went, and I picked up things here and there through, you know, through a few texts and social media. But How awesome was that?
It was amazing.
So 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
3 weeks. Got to go with them to their first preseason game against the Detroit Lions, which was on Hard Knocks, which was cool. But it was an amazing, amazing opportunity. It was fun to see what it was like at the elite level. Mm. You know, how the elite organizations run it, the highest of the high run it, how the highest of the high coaches go about it. It's just everybody in there is a master of what they do, even the players, you know. It was just impressive to see just the organization of things. And to be able to sit with Dean Pease, okay, the defensive coordinator for the Falcons, who was the DC for Saban, DC for Belichick, won a national championship with Saban, won a Super Bowl with Belichick, won a Super Bowl with Harbaugh with the Ravens, coached Ray Lewis, you know, just sitting there and listening to him for 3 weeks and his staff install defenses, watch practice film, get ready for a game, a preseason game, watch them practice. I mean, it was priceless. You know, I would say that, you know, my level of coaching, you know, jumped about 20 levels.
Wow.
You know, more so than if I went to a clinic, you know, a Glazer clinic, or more so if I went and visited a college. It was just amazing. It was tremendous. And we've already tried to establish some of the stuff that they do there, and we'll continue to slowly implement that as the off season comes. But from a structure standpoint, and seeing Arthur Smith run his organization, how they meet, how they're so just the intent of what they're doing is everything is detailed and just so precise that, you know, that's how we're trying to be, you know, especially as a staff, you know, and our meeting times and how we're getting the information to the kids and how we're practicing. 'Cause it's different. The way they go about things is completely different than anything I've been around. And so if that's how the NFL does it, if that's how the best in the business do it, then that's how we're going to do it. And we're going to strive to do it like that way.
Talking with Yosef Ferris, Justin Garza, high school head coach. Did you get to hang around with a lot of players, or is it more just coaches?
So I was in the DB room, you know, so I got to watch the defensive backs, you know, like A.J. Terrell, Casey Hayward, you know, Hawk, Richie Grant, Eric Harris. I got to see the rookies, you know, that were in there and how they went about getting their business done. You know, I was with the whole defense as a whole in defensive install meetings. So, you know, Michael Walker was there and just seeing him go about his business, and, you know, Rashad Evans. And yeah, I got to see those guys, but I didn't go there as a fanboy.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't go there in awe or anything like that. I was there to be a coach, and I was there trying to get a job, you know, ultimately, you know, it's a job interview.
Yeah.
And so I went in there trying to show my worth and trying to leave the organization a little bit better, so that when I did leave, that they would be like, you know, it was
keep that guy's name.
Yeah,
on the radar.
Keep that guy's name around. You know, so I didn't go in there. Everybody was like, "Ask, can you get an autograph for me? This and that." No,
no way.
No, I'm not there for that. You know, because that, you know, that's their job.
Exactly.
You know,
their livelihood depends a lot on how
the
players perform on the field.
And they're in a safe zone, you know?
Yeah.
They don't want some intern coming up to them asking them for an autograph.
No.
If you did, then they probably wouldn't ask me back.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. You know. Oh, gosh. We got about 30 seconds here. Yosef Ferris, you've done an amazing job so far. Love talking to you. We got another connection. We love Star Wars, right?
Yes.
So did you watch the new one?
I did.
Did you watch Andor, the first three episodes? I knew you were on baby duty last night, so I don't know how much time you had to yourself.
I knew I was coming in here, so I knew I better finish it.
All right, really quick, what do you give it? About 8.5 out of 10? What do you say right now?
You know, it's interesting. It started slow, but that third episode picked it up. It's a different perspective. It's not from a Jedi perspective. It's more from a regular person in the rebellion, how they come up. So that's pretty cool to see.
It's going to be a different ball game the rest of the way. I agree. All right. Always great to talk to you. Thanks for coming in. We're going to be taking a break and coming back talking with Brian Wells, Fresno Unified. Thanks again, Yosef, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.
You're listening to the home of the Los Angeles Lakers, KFIG Fresno, 1430 ESPN. In a world world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and welcome to hour number two on the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters. Every Saturday, 10 to 12, here at First String Sports. Yeah, tons of people here, man. I love seeing this and see all the Letterman's jackets that are being picked up and embroidered. I hear the guys making phone calls. Your Letterman's jacket is ready to be picked up. You could come anytime between 10 and 4 o'clock. So, yeah, thanks to First String Sports. They do a great job here. Had a really good conversation with Yosef Ferris in that. Yeah, I think my producer, Gabe Camarillo, was probably like, Paul, end the conversation. We got to get to break. We got to get our commercials in. That was, yeah, I went like 5 minutes over. I've never done that, but the conversation just flows. Justin Garza High School, they're entering the CMAC, but, with sophomores and juniors, only 7 juniors are on that varsity team. So for those guys to be able to compete at the level they're going to compete at, obviously they're going to take their lumps, but yeah, they're not scared of anybody. So always great to talk to him. We're going to keep it. We're going to change pace a little bit. We're going to bring in Brian Wells, who is the Department of Student Education for Fresno Unified, involved with student activities, arts, and athletics. And I've known Brian for a few years. Whenever we run into each other at a game, we always chop it up a little bit. And he's very encouraging, always got a smile on his face. And so there's some projects that are going on in Fresno Unified, and there's no perfect person to talk to other than Brian about all this. And what caught my attention is Wednesday, Edison had a big ceremony with a brand new gym and facility. And yeah, it was just a really big and neat deal they did. They went all out and brought the band out and coaches and teams. And yeah, they just shared that experience of opening up that new gym. But first of all, Brian, always great to talk to you. Thanks for coming in to First String.
Hey, well, thank you for the opportunity. It's, you know, I'm going to do my best to outdo Yosef, so we'll get caught up, and so Gabe can have another fit, so we can we can just go all the way through. But what, you know, it's really a pleasure to sit here and be in person, like we spoke about, and just be able to interact and chat about the great things that are going on in the Valley. I know we're going to be looking at this segment in regards to Fresno Unified Sports, but I tell you what, Valley sports in general, that's where my heart is, and promoting the Valley athlete, male, female, just giving them every opportunity to succeed and have great opportunities.
No, absolutely, and I feel like sometimes I really romanticize high school sports and just talk about the memories that are created and, you know, the all that. But it's because it's true, right? Like, for those of us that are really invested in kids and love our roots and love the Central Valley, you know, why not celebrate it, right?
Exactly.
Shine the light on all the good things that happen. You talk about COVID, and there's a lot of negative stuff out there in the world, but mm-hmm. High school sports is something that needs to be celebrated, and the kids work hard and they deserve it as well. Why don't you, first of all, just kind of describe your job. I give you a little bit of intro as far as,
sure,
you know, what your title might be. But, kind of describe your job, you know, throughout Fresno Unified.
Sure. My official title is Assistant Superintendent over the Department of Student Engagement. And what that is, everything arts, athletics, and activities. So when we have our campus culture directors, some of the other school districts may call them activities directors, but the heartbeat of the school, how we get the kids involved and engaged. You talked about the band at Edison High School that came in. They were in full dress uniform, coming in with their drum lines, and then they played the fight song, which was outstanding. And then finally being able to celebrate the athletes and all of the sports, K through 12. And so with that, we're a mighty group of about 9 individuals in our department. But we have the responsibility and the great fortune and blessings to be able to work with 74,000 kids. And so with that, we're growing. We have just a vision for the future of what we want to be able to do. And, try to overcome some hurdles that some of our students may have. But we just want to be able to provide the very best that we can.
Yeah, and there have been a lot of hurdles. And we mentioned COVID and coming out of that as an educator myself and as a dad. I've seen it firsthand and the effects that it has. And coming out of that is certainly been a process, and it hasn't been easy. But we're seeing a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel as far as getting a lot of the kids back on track,
right.
and providing services for them and all that. So what does that look like for Fresno Unified coming out of that and, you know, the long-term plan of, you know, getting, you know, student athletes at a healthy level mentally, physically, and seeing numbers out there in sports again?
Well, specifically athletics, and I know that we have some great programs, you know, on the other side of the house, but this is where I get to be selfish since this is a sports radio show. We have just opportunities through after-school summer bridge academies that we've worked to make our students not only intellectually, more astute, the opportunities to earn back credits, but they also have a chance to work on skills. They have weightlifting opportunities and then proper nutrition. And so the opportunity is there for all student athletes in every sport that we have that they get to work with their coaches, and then we compensate their coaches because you and I both know that coaches are the heartbeat. They are the connection point. And a lot of times the social-emotional connection with their coaches really, you know, it centers them and grounds them. And so by being able to have opportunities to be tutored or mentored by their coaches during the summertime allows that fluidity to come as they go, so does the school. As your football team goes in volleyball team in the fall, so goes your team, so goes your school. Your band, they're going to be, you know, drumming it up and making sure that you have opportunities to really do amazing things on the field. And it just the emotional impact. But having that person who is there as a stable force 5 days a week, after the school day ends, to be of support after school hours, it's priceless. Yeah. And, that's one of the things that we're most proud of, that we've run it 2 years in a row now, and, we've had great support from our board. And just be able to move forward with that, it's been amazing.
And so talk about the Edison. I felt like that snuck up on me. They've had that in the works for a while. Oh, yeah, it's already done. So talk about what Edison looks like.
Sure.
The genesis of the project, how it started, and all that good stuff.
Well, first of all, community input, number one. But former trustee Cal Johnson was at the spearhead of what we were looking at. And, and then Keisha Thomas, who is our current board trustee for the Edison region, they want to make sure that we do whatever is correct for the student athletes and the kids. So inside of our new gymnasiums that we have an auxiliary gym. So we have one off of the main gym.
Okay.
And then we've upgraded the main gym itself to hold some classrooms. So there are times when the students, you know, may have to travel. And as you know, when transportation can get caught up a bit, we need places for the kids to study and do their homework and get and just also get away and just have some quiet time. So we have classrooms built into these new gymnasiums, all which right. are amazing. The primary gym at Edison High School now seats about 1,500 students, I should say. New floor, new bleachers, absolutely amazing.
Okay. What's in? I always love the center of a gym. Is there a new? Is there a tiger there?
Yeah,
or what's that look like?
What
they put there?
It's a big tiger. And
all
it's
right,
hand painted. So it's not a sticker. It's
good,
hand painted in there, and it's the same one that they've had. You know, it's similar to the one that they've had on their walls. And then we're bringing back all of the banners and putting them back up in the main gym. The auxiliary gym is the one that was added. And so that was a 2-year project. And for that, we had to play games at Gaston Middle School down the street, which was tough.
Yeah.
We truly appreciate the administration at Gaston, practicing also at Computech. Wherever we could, there's been community partners that we've had that we've been able to combine forces with, so that way we could actually pull this off. But all of the indoor sports had to be relocated, and sometimes they even practiced outdoors. And so with that, you even had, we had badminton had just a tremendous year. But basketball, boys and girls, were relocated to two other sites. Almost $11 million investment. And for secondary gyms, and that will allow them to host tournaments in the future. And so what a blessing. I mean, we have, Bullard has a couple of gyms. Hoover has a couple of gyms now. So Hoover's is going through some renovation. We also now have Edison's online, and then we have a couple more to go. We have Roosevelt. They're due to get a secondary gym, and also McLean High School. So, we're trying to round out our comprehensive high schools so that way we can compete at the highest level and just give the best product out there. And I'm really just honored by our facilities team that really works in together with us. And so it's not building versus, you know, education. We're all in it together, which has been
absolutely amazing. Oh, man, that sounds exciting. And I know, obviously, you know, gyms are great, right? And you know, it's all-encompassing. You could do different, you know, you talk about badminton and, you know, volleyball, obviously.
Yep.
So, yeah, so that's super important. That's going to go a long way with the students of Fresno Unified. Now, one of the hot topics.
Yes, sir.
Football fields, right? You knew I was going to go there, right? So
yes,
last
sir.
Night we were at Sunnyside, and that, first of all, that field looks great.
Doesn't
right?
it look amazing?
Yeah, it does. It looks amazing. The press box is right there at the 50-yard line. We've got a great view, and the scoreboard is great. It's a great addition as well. So what can you say about, you know, future football fields for the other Fresno Unified schools?
Well, you know, there's been talk through our system in regards to some pocket stadiums that would see between 2,500 to on the home side and 1,000 on the visitor side.
So when you say pocket stadiums, that's just lower. Like you think veterans, right? That's all. That's not a pocket stadium because you got the cement. What is that exactly?
It's kind of like Madera South. What Madera South has currently, that's a pocket stadium that they have. Meaning that you want something at times that your kids don't have to travel and your community doesn't have to travel. It can be right on the high school campus.
Got it.
And so we'll have full press box, so you guys can do your broadcasts from any one of the schools. But all five schools that don't have a stadium, all of our comprehensive high schools, with the exception of McLean and Sunnyside, we would look at that, and this, of course, is pending board approval and moving forward. But I tell you what, the plans and the feedback that we've been getting from the community has been tremendous, and so it is going to be, you know, pro turf, so that way we'll be able to. And I'll have to talk to Cam Worrell and see what he says about.
He knows a thing or two about that stuff.
Yeah, he does. I've seen his tweets. But we want to be able to have that as an all-encompassing field. So that way, not only for boys and girls soccer, football, lacrosse, but also for community use. And so that way the community can come in and be engaged in opening that, so that green spaces are abounding, you know, within the scope of Fresno Unified. So that way, and they'll have lights, and we want a press box that is going to be, you know, just top shelf. We want to do it the right way.
Yeah.
So, and we want to be great stewards with the money that the community has afforded us.
Talking with Brian Wells, representative of Fresno Unified. Are there, you know, how far, you know, you talk about the Edison gyms, right?
Uh-huh.
Is there a certain process, like, okay, we want to work on maybe getting Bullard a pocket state. We want to work on getting, you know, Roosevelt or Fresno High. Is there a certain order that you guys are going to go in, a certain plan?
Well, we have, the oldest school that we have in our district, I should say the first school in our district, is Fresno High. The only school with Fresno in its name. So just want to make sure that the alumni know that. And with that, Fresno High would likely be the origination point for the pocket stadiums to begin. They'll be receiving a new track, a 9-lane track, hopefully the all-purpose turf, as well as the items that we spoke about before. It's going to be an amazing look and feel, so that way the community can come in there without infringing upon the neighborhood as much as we can, because we know that that's a hot topic. But we want to be able to leave this to our board and the consensus of our board of trustees to decide, okay, where is the need, the next most important need, for these stadiums to come. And once we start, though, it is, you know, it takes probably 18 months from beginning to end. And we just look forward to the opportunity to be able to, you know, have the community just be able to walk, park at the school, park at home, walk over to the campus, and then just enjoy a great game, go home after that, you know, just real quick right down the street.
And I know Bullard a few years ago did that, where they brought out the portable lights and had game right there. And then I know that was a great atmosphere. You know, my daughters went and they just sat on that grass berm, got some blankets, right? And
yep.
Yeah, that's probably the type of environment that you guys are envisioning, or that you guys want, just the community, right, where you can get together, you could eat together or watch a football game together and talk and cheer on the boys and all that.
Without a doubt. And that's the primary focus of, you know, nothing like sports brings families and communities together, and being able to rally around that is the most important part.
Yeah, exactly. And we got about 5 minutes, Brian. And
sure.
I can't leave without talking about your son. So your son David, Clovis North, 2013 grad.
Yes, 2013.
Am I right? 2013,
grad.
San Diego State, undrafted free agent, and suited up for the Cardinals. And now he's latched on with Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So he's on practice squad right now, and he's learning the offense. He said that Tom Brady really has the cannon. That he can sling the rock, but he is, the opportunity for that he's been afforded in his years as moving from team to team. It's been amazing to watch his maturation process and how he has grasped onto systems. He's been, believe it or not, with eight teams.
Is it eight?
Eight teams. And, being able to learn systems. But he said it's surprisingly how similar some of the systems are.
Yeah.
And once you learn just what the concept might be, it's a snap of the finger and you've got your routes and your other things. But it's been a dream and what a ride for, me being a father and watching my son being able to, perform at the highest level and have him be excited about the opportunities and then watch him get married. He's now living up in his home base is up in Lincoln, just east of Rockland. And just watching him grow as a young man, 27 years old now.
Oh gosh. I remember reading about him, right? And in the early 2010s and, he's a stud athlete and, plays tight end and, 6'6"? Is that what he's at?
6'6", 255.
Is that 255 now?
Yeah.
Do you remember when he hit like 200 pounds? Or do you remember the day when he was taller than you?
Yeah, I think it was sixth grade, quite frankly. But, he came down to Traver and played in the flag football tournament down there. And I always have to carry his birth certificate at that time just to make sure that they knew that he was really, the age that he was because he was a big kid.
Yeah, I ran a pretty fun Saturday flag football tournament in eighth grade for 13 years. And I always tell people I had two NFL guys that played in that tournament, and David was the quarterback at Fresno Christian. And you're right, when he came walking in, I'm like, okay, I invited these guys, right? Come on, what am I doing here? And then the other kid went to a school in Porterville, played at Washington State. His name escapes me. Tulare Western, Washington State.
Yeah,
and then
mine
in the
too,
NFL,
yes.
I think for the Chicago Bears. So we played in my tournament too. So I say, yeah, two NFL guys that were on the field at Traver.
Yeah, but you know what? But cool. Flag football was awesome. I mean, it teaches awesome. You discipline, and it was he still talks about that Traver tournament. Wow. I mean, we can bring that up in a nanosecond.
That's awesome. And so he did get to suit up for three games with the Cardinals. Am I right on that?
Yeah, he would have suited up more. The very first game that he started against the 49ers, and the very first play, he broke his hand. And he snapped it right above the ring, right behind the ring finger. And so he was on injured reserve for approximately 4 weeks, came back in, and he got to play against Dallas and then against the Seahawks. And his buddy Rashad Penny, who he blocked for at San Diego State, was a starting running back for Seahawks. And so they're exchanging jerseys at center, at midfield and writing some nice things. So it's been neat. He's Andre Saussure, he's got his jersey as well. So
that's great. And, I was going to actually bring up Andre, who has been on my show last year when he was a practice squad guy. I talked to him after his season with the Eagles, right? And so I wasn't familiar with how practice squads worked. And so, hey, they got to be ready to go because you don't know going into the weekend whether or not you'll be activated. So you're practicing with the guys. I mean, you're not, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, those are the practice squad guys, right? It's all encompassing, right?
Yeah. You got to be able to watch not only what the install is being for the week for the actual team, but you also are running the scout to offense for the number one defense. And so sometimes there are no breaks as you go through. David was talking about 90 degrees temperature in Tampa Bay plus 88 degrees humidity. He said, Dad, I was dead dog tired.
Yeah.
But, it was, you've got to be able to do that, but you have to be ready. And then, there's also the unknown, right? As we call it No Talk Tuesday because it's Transaction Tuesday when they usually bring in other people to try out. And so those are tough, strenuous times for young men that are going through this in the professional ranks unless you have a locked-in guaranteed contract. So. It's been a journey, been a ride, but I tell you what, the mental toughness, and he wants to be a high school coach down the line. So, can't wait to see him do what he follows that dream as he.
But you say he's relocated. He's up north near Lincoln.
Yep.
Or in Lincoln.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Is there a fun story that you can share that he shared with you about a player like, man, this guy is awesome, or maybe. you know, something different about an NFL guy?
You know, his former teammate at San Diego State was Cameron Thomas, who was drafted by the Cardinals. And so he lined up with him when he was with Tennessee during the preseason. And he goes, Cameron, you know I got you. I know your weaknesses, Cameron. And so he's talking to him across the line. And as he's pulling, you know, first time he goes, that's one. And then I saw it on film on a rewind. I was rewound because he goes, yeah, I got him three different times on three different blocking plays. And I just, you know, once I got into his head, I knew I had him. And so, you know, just but then, you know, after the game, it's all hugs and everything else. He goes, man, you really did get in my head. Now stop that.
Stop that. I'm trying to make a living too, dude. Come
That's
on.
Right. But it's been really neat to see the camaraderie and the brotherhood that they have in the locker room. And just how, you know, how they go about, you know, they're normal, everyday people, and they are just blessed with the opportunity to put on a nice show for the fans. And that's the one thing. David has never lost that being just a genuine nice person.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, nothing great things to say about David, and obviously that great Clovis North team that won the last Clovis team to win a Central Section
back
championship.
Back to back.
Ryan, I'll leave you with the last word. We got 1 minute here. You know, you see a lot of, you know, you work with a lot of people. You see, you know, coaches and athletes. What is the best way to reach the hearts and minds of young high school kids?
You know, it all starts with just the connection. Okay, if there is no connection, you know, and empathy that's there for the child, you know, because they are young men, young women that are coming out to the sport. You have to have the heart. Everything else you can teach, but if you don't have the heart and the ability to connect with a student on a real close level. You have no, and you saw that with Yosef when he was in here, the way he was talking about his athletes. It's the same way, too. That's what, you know, as you look around, you know, you were mentioning Coach Wright at Red Roosevelt and what he's building. You know, wins will come, but what he's building is a culture. And that's the most important part about building relationships matter. And if you don't have the relationships with not only your players but also with your parents, then, you know, things are lost. And so communication, relationship building, and then making sure that you know, there's accountability with that, because the student doesn't want to let you down and you don't want to let them down. That's the most important, because we're here to serve our kids.
Absolutely, 100%. Great, great last word. Brian, really appreciate you coming. Always fun to talk to you. Doing a great job at Fresno Unified. Can't wait to see you again.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate the time.
You bet. All right, coming up after the break, we got a couple dudes. Couple of Buchanan dudes, Jaden Mandel, Colton O'Toole are here. We're going to be talking with them. They are our they're going to have to live with that forever. Co-1430 ESPN Student Athletes of the Week. Coming up after the break on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Found the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Hitting bottom of hour number two already. I'm your host, Paul Medders. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Medders, PaulMeadors. That name wasn't taken when I signed up for Twitter. Not too many Medders out there. But had a great conversation with Brian Wells. Oh, I was happy to bring him on. He's just a wealth of knowledge. What's going on with Fresno Unified Sports? And obviously his son David is... You know, I didn't quite realize that he has been on 8 different practice squads in the NFL in, I think, 4 years. So talk about perseverance, man. He got to suit up 3 games for the Cardinals. Wish that guy luck. And, you know, you talk about Andre Sacheret, too, is same year as him and how he was toiling in the practice squad and then, you know, got the full-time gig with the Philadelphia Eagles. So, yeah, always love those success stories and those guys that grind it out. Speaking of grind it out, got a couple guys right here. Buchanan Bears, Jaden Mandel, Colton O'Toole. I've watched these guys play, I don't know, for the last 4 years, 3 years, especially on varsity. You know, I've started hearing about Jaden in eighth grade from his uncle, Ryan, who I've known for a long time. And Ryan's like, yeah, my nephew's good. I'm like, all right, man, I hear that a lot about guys, right? And so here we go, 4 years later. Sure. Yeah, you're on my show now. So, yeah, I guess you were good back then. You're good now. All right. So, first of all, thanks, guys, for coming. Bye game. You didn't have a game last night. Was that hard, Jaden? Was that hard for you to not have a game?
Yeah, for sure. I love Friday night lights, and it sucks when you're not being able to be out there.
It is, right? Yeah. So, like, in this season, you have a pattern, right? You play on Friday. Then Saturday, you recover and do what you got to do. Sunday, go for your rest and watch some NFL. Monday, start practice again. You have these benchmarks, right? And yep. Then you're like, Friday, oh, yeah, no game, right? Yep. You got to wait a couple of weeks. Colton, how about for you? Was it hard for you this week?
It was hard. Just preparing every day for the Friday night game and not having that game is just different. So, yeah, but it was cool. It was good for our bodies, you know, yep. And I think everyone is just getting time to recover and everything. So I think it was good for us.
Now, there's a reason for the bye weeks, right? Let your body recover. Again, Colton O'Toole, Jaden Mandel, quarterback, receiver Buchanan. They're 5-0 right now. And, yeah, you guys kind of – Your schedule was interesting. It wasn't easy. You had those back-to-back tough games, and you know, looking at that schedule, you had the Bakersfield win, Escalon, which was probably tougher than you thought, the Foothill game, and then you had Liberty and Memorial. So it was a good time for the bye week. I want to talk about that Liberty game, right? It was a big discussion. Obviously, that game was hyped up. You know, they beat you guys last year in the playoffs. You guys are going down there. Preseason ranked and ranked number one, and then Lightning game, you guys were declared the winners. It was a 35-27, right?
Yep.
First of all, just you guys were down 14-0 in that game. Did you guys panic at all? Like, were you guys like, shoot, guys, come on, let's get it together? And you did, or were you just like, calm, hey, we can do this?
Yeah, I mean, we were a little bit panicky, but we came together, you know. Yeah, we just came together as a team. We all talked on the sideline. It was like, it's only 14-0. We got this. And then we went on a 35-0 run.
Yeah.
And then it was 35-14, just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colton, in that game, obviously it's, you know, Liberty's tough, right? And yeah. They got some dudes over there. Did you personally, like, you're like, let's finish this, right? What was your thoughts about that? Like, hey, we won the game, cool, right? You're not jumping up and down and celebrating, yeah. But you wanted to finish it, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think the whole team was on board there. We all wanted to go back out there. I think a lot of people thought, like, momentum swings was a big thing and everything. But honestly, I think if that game goes on, that we just get better as that game goes on. So, yeah, but we were all mad, and we all really wanted to finish that game.
What time did you guys get home that night?
Oh, late.
Like 1:20.
It was like 1:30, yeah.
Yeah.
1:30. Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why they did call it, right?
Yeah,
like,
it was.
Obviously there was lightning, and you know, you got to delay it 30 minutes, and if you see it again, you got to go 30 more minutes. And so, if you guys, I think we're going to go one more delay, right, you probably would go home at 2:30 or something crazy like
that. I think it's because they started it late, too. It was supposed to be at 6:30.
Because of the heat.
The heat. So that's why they put it back.
So, you guys were declared the winners of that game, right?
Yep.
It's a win. Then you got the Memorial game. Big hype, right? TV, radio, Memorial's got a really good team. They got some dudes over there. Again, you find yourself down 21-3. You guys put together a nice drive right before halftime. Me and the guys are saying, hey, Buchanan needs some points, right? Needing some points right here. Was it the same type of mentality when you guys were down 14-0 at Liberty? Because you'd done it before, right? You came back against Liberty, scored those 35 straight. You're like, hey, guys, all right, 21-10 at halftime, but, hey, let's just do our thing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, after the Liberty game, we were all like, it was 21-10. It's only 11 points.
Yeah.
We got this easy. The whole locker room, like, usually when you're losing in at halftime and you go in the locker room, everyone's down. Everyone's like, come on, guys. But we were, like, just chill. We were like, we got this. Like, we're not worried at all. Offense finally put it together, and defense did their jobs.
Yes, sir.
And Colton, you had a big play, man. You had that touchdown. It was about a 60-yard or 55, 57?
I think it was like 57 or something.
All right, we'll
like
call it 57, split the difference. left sideline, I think this was a score. That was 21-10 at that point when you caught that touchdown.
Yeah.
I think the DB got a little confused, but, hey, you made the catch and you outrun everybody. What did you see on that play?
We saw one high safety, and so we were just going posts and just look off the safety and just go to me. And then I saw the ball, and I just honestly, I don't remember much about it. it just all kind of happened pretty fast, and I just started running towards the pylon. But it always helps when you have a D1 quarterback throwing you the ball.
Oh, so. There it is. All right, D1 quarterback. All right, so I want to talk about your guys' relationship too. You know, Jaden, you were at, I think you were at Granite Ridge and then Clovis North for your freshman year and then transferred. Colton, were you Buchanan the whole way? Are you all to Sierra?
Yeah, I went to Woods, all to Buchanan. So, yeah, I've been Bear.
And both of you guys are baseball guys. We're going to talk about you, Jaden, later about baseball and whatnot. But when did you guys first meet? Like, you guys played some travel ball together? You guys got a funny story or what?
Yeah, man, it was a long time ago. So both of our dads were both the coaches for our travel ball team. Yeah. And, I mean, we went everywhere together. And then we went to another travel team, Tri-County. Mm-hmm. And his dad was running the Central Valley thing at that place. What's it called?
CCTB.
Yeah, CCTB. So we were taking him every weekend, it felt like. He was rooming with me and my family, and we were going to Florida, Georgia, wherever it was. And that really just built our connection, you know.
For sure.
Colton, yeah, what do you remember? You remember meeting this guy for the first time?
Yeah.
Like, who's this guy?
It was funny. We were about probably 7 years old playing. He was on Clovis Bears, and I was on CS or something. And we were always just kind of playing against each other. And then finally, when we were like 10 years old, our dads put it together, and then we started playing together. And we've been playing together ever since. So it's been fun.
Baseball was, you guys grew up playing baseball together. Colton, was football all on your roster, like, or on your radar? Did you always play football? Or was it you baseball first and then start playing football?
Yeah, it's always been baseball. In seventh grade, I started playing football. I was the quarterback. And then I didn't start playing receiver until this year in high school. But I never really, I always loved football. I love playing football, but baseball has been my passion, and I just love pitching and hitting. So,
all right. So you relieved him in not baseball, but you relieved him in football game, right? I think you got hurt for a game or maybe two, and you stepped in or you played quarterback.
Right. Yeah.
What was that like?
It was different, especially on, because it was kind of short notice. But especially that team last year where everyone just rallied around me and gave me a bunch of confidence, and everyone believed in me, especially Coach Gio and Coach Wood too. So it made it a lot easier for sure, but it was a lot of fun.
So this year, Colton, you're one of the leading receivers in the Central section. How many touchdowns are you up to? You got five. You're up to five. Jaden, obviously Division I, committed to Fresno State. Talk about the connection you guys got on the field. Are there some, you know, talk about your friendship. You've known each other for a long time. Are there a couple things where you just kind of look at each other like, all right, I got this guy, or, hey, you know, do this inside move, or maybe go to a slant here? Is there some stuff you guys got going on?
I think it all started when Jaden started doing, like, quarterback lessons with his quarterback coach. And I would just go out there for fun and just run some routes. And, I think that built the football connection for sure. But, we've always had that personal connection, too.
I think him being a quarterback, too, with the past years, it helps him being a receiver. He knows what zones to sit in and what coverage it is.
Yeah.
Like, he knows it as well as me, what coverage it is, and he knows where to be, when to be, and he does a great job of that.
Well, I remember, Colton, you were obviously an athlete on last year's football team that put you in different spots, but you've really, really settled in as a wide receiver, so that's really fun to see. All right. Got a little fun game for you guys. I got a list of questions here, and I think there's a game where it was pretty popular for a while with your phones. Like, you'd ask a question, like, who does this better or who does this more? And you, like, hold up the phone to your head, right? And it, like, points, right? It's kind of like that, but we're on the radio, right? So I'm just going to say it, and you guys are going to chop it up, and hopefully you guys still leave as friends. All right, here we go. Right now, if we went out to the parking lot and measured out a 40 yards, who's faster, Colton or Jaden?
Colton.
Yeah, I think I got that one.
You got it.
In the bag.
In the bag.
No problem. It'd be pretty close. But. Five-yard head start for Jaden. 5 yard head start. Who still wins?
I think 5 yard head start in the 40 is pretty significant.
Yeah, it kind of is.
I think I got that one.
Yeah. You got it. I think the 5 yards.
The 5 yard in front.
I think it's close though.
Probably regular 40. He got me for sure.
For sure. Okay. Yeah. Who can throw a football farther?
Definitely Jaden.
Okay. Yeah. What are you up to right now?
I think the farthest, or like in game, or just
no practice.
Probably like 65, 70.
About six. Okay.
Yeah.
Colton, can you go 50 right now?
Yeah, I could probably just get barely over 50, probably about 50-ish, yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, Jaden for sure. That was a pretty easy one. Okay, so you guys played basketball growing up?
Yeah.
Basketball
guys?
We both did. Yeah. All right. If right now, go into a gym, could either of you dunk a tennis ball?
Yeah, I can dunk a tennis ball. You can probably.
I could probably dunk a tennis ball. Yeah.
Okay, dunk a tennis ball. So, out of either of you though, who can get higher in a rim? Like, show me where. Again, this is radio, right? But show me where on your hand you could touch the rim, and who could go higher in a.
I'd probably get it right at the bottom of my palm.
Yeah,
probably.
I'd say about the.
We're probably about the same.
Yeah, probably the same.
Because we've done it multiple times before, just in the gym, like doing walkthroughs or stuff. And
I think we got the same on that one.
Yeah. Really? All right. And you're both one leg jumpers, or two?
I'm definitely.
I'm on one leg.
How about volleyball? Think you could stuff a volleyball then? Tennis ball? I mean, tennis ball, yes. Yeah. Said, but volleyball?
Probably not. I don't think so.
I don't think we've done enough of that.
You probably could. You got hops.
Maybe.
All right. Right now, who can throw a baseball faster from the pitching mound?
Ooh.
Yeah, so here we go.
Personally.
Probably O'Toole.
I think
O'Toole on that one.
He's got you right now?
Yeah.
Just because you haven't been doing it.
Yeah.
But we've always been
pretty similar. If we went right now, probably not, yeah.
We've always been probably similar growing up, so.
Okay. How about back in the day, though, when you got first started to play hardball? Was it Jaden all the way? Like, he threw harder or
I
what?
I think so, yeah.
When we were younger, for sure, yeah. Jaden was definitely the more harder thrower, and I just kind of had the off-speed stuff when we were younger, so.
Yeah.
All right, so you tried to sneak him past, and you tried to throw it past him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was he wild? Was he a wild pitcher? Would he hit kids, or did he have good control back then?
No, yeah, Jaden was a legit pitcher back then.
What?
He still is, but.
Okay, see how he did? He still is. He said back then, but he said still is. Okay. Who gets madder on the field when things aren't going right, Colton or Jaden?
100% O'Toole.
Yeah. I'd say we both get kind of frustrated more with ourselves than anything, but
yeah,
I think maybe me. I don't know.
Yeah, that one's close. I think we get mad in different ways, you know.
But you get more mad at yourself, Colton.
Yeah,
not mad at other guys. Like,
no.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to go off script a little bit. This is fun, but like, what is the difference between like yelling at one of your teammates, but yet yelling it to make him better where they still respect you know what I mean? Like, there's some like guys that yell and you're like, shh, that difference.
I think me and Colin Loki have like a good cop bad cop type moment sometimes when we're rolling, and then sometimes something doesn't go our way, like a false start or something like that. Sometimes I'll go in there and be like, come on guys, we gotta step it up, and then he'll come in and be like, just calm down and then relax, or then vice versa. So
it goes both ways. Yeah.
Well, physical mistakes compared to mental mistakes, right. Those are frustrating. You're like, that's what coaches say, right? Come on, no mental – physical mistakes, it can happen, right?
There's no really yelling at physical mistakes, but it's just the mental mistakes, and you got to know your teammates and know what works best for them and how to get them going and engaged in the game and just ready to compete. So,
all right, who has the better taste in music?
Definitely me.
I'm going to say, I only listen to very few artists. So
he loves Eminem. We call him Slim Shady because we'll go in the car with him, and every song is Eminem, every single song. And I'm like, I like Eminem, but I can't just sit there and listen to him just rap the whole time.
Yeah, show some diversity.
If it's game time, I'm in. Like, he gets me rolling. But if we're just driving to go get food or something, I can't be listening to Slim Shady.
Yeah, I'd say Jaden definitely has a bigger variety and – I guess you could say better.
But. What is your variety then? You country guy to you, mixing a little country?
I like everything.
Yeah.
I like rap, country. About that. Probably rap and country is what I mostly listen to.
What's Coach Ross Woods, what's his philosophy or his rules, I guess, with music before a game? Does he got any? Or
no, he doesn't have any rules.
No.
But at practice, we do a White Boy Wednesday, and so we get all the rock going.
80s rock.
Yeah. 80s rock, all that stuff. So.
but he kind of tries to stay out of the locker room a little bit before our
game. He lets us do our thing.
Let's kids be kids a little bit for that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. All right. We're on the baseball practice field, or baseball field, I guess, at Buchanan. You get 10 perfect pitches each right in your wheelhouse, right, whatever, 77 miles an hour, right in your wheelhouse. Right. Who hits more homers out of 10 pitches? Colton O'Toole, Jaden Mandel, or I'm going to throw in the host, man, right here. The host is Central
Valley. I think you got it.
Yeah, for sure.
Right now, you got it. Yeah. I would swing and miss on all 10 of them.
Yeah.
Right down the pipe? Right where you like it?
Yeah, probably. I got to work at it to be good at hitting.
Got it.
Baseball is a lot different as far as football. You know?
Yeah.
Like football, you can kind of just go out there and do your thing.
Yeah.
But baseball, especially hitting, you know, you got to – it's an everyday thing.
It's true.
So.
It's true. Yeah.
It's a hard thing to do.
When you get back into swinging it and those first couple cuts, you're like, man, have I ever picked up a bat before? because I feel so silly holding this thing. Okay, who is the funniest guy on the Buchanan football team? Who cracks you guys up? Who you know can like loosen up the team a little bit?
I'm probably gonna go with Makai.
Yeah, Makai or McKay.
Makai Johnson and Makai Jones, they're both pretty they're pretty close. But Makai Jones receiver and Makai Johnson the corner, they both crack me up.
They always have a good attitude and they're always laughing. And so yeah, I'd say definitely those two.
All right, cool. All right, we got a couple minutes. We got about 3 minutes. Jaden, I want to talk about you and your commitment to Fresno State. You know, hometown Bulldogs, you first committed to baseball. But I want to ask you too, like, when did it flip for you, right? So when did like your baseball commit flip to football? You're just like, man, I think my football career is really taking off. I want to be a Bulldog. When did it start to flip?
I think it was that first Friday Night Light. It was at Clovis West. Transferred over to Buchanan. Started my sophomore year as quarterback. And really playing quarterback changed the game for me because I wasn't really a quarterback in 7th and 8th grade. Always receiver, linebacker, so playing quarterback, and I was like, dang, I could be pretty good at this if I worked at it. And I started working at it, got better, and that's what really did it for me.
So Coach Tedford, right, did he offer you?
Yeah. Yes, he did.
The other coaching staff was interested as well? Yeah. DeBoer, like, how did that all play out?
No, I really didn't talk to when DeBoer was there.
Okay.
But when Tedford came back in, I started talking to them very lightly, and then all of a sudden it was boom.
So when were you, like, sold, like, dad, everybody, Tedford wants me, I'm committed, I'm going?
Yeah, I think when Tedford called me and said, you could be our guy, we really want you, I'm like, I love football. This is really my passion. I want to do this.
God, what was that like? When you got off the phone, did you, like, start screaming? You just lay there in your bed? What'd you guys do?
Because it was late at night. It was, like, 8:30. And then, so he called me. I don't have his number, but it popped up as Jeff Tedford. So I was like, am I dreaming right now? Like, what's going on? And then he called me and offered me, and I was like, dang, this just doesn't feel real right now. And so I went downstairs and told my whole family, and they're like, no way. But yeah.
Maybe it was a Jeff Tedford impersonator, right?
Yeah,
like,
I was
what? Really?
This can't be real.
That's awesome. So you are going to enroll early, right?
Yes.
You're going to enroll early in January and get a head start. You know, obviously, you're in the moment, which is awesome, and you want to win with your brothers, and you got a lot of football left. But I mean, what are you looking forward to the most, man, about being a Bulldog and enroll early and all that?
Yeah, enrolling early is great. I mean, Jake Hanner's going to be gone, so that position might be up for grabs, and I'm just going to go in there in the spring, learn the playbook, and see where I'm at, and just get better as it goes.
And Colton, you know, you're a baseball guy. You're obviously going to be playing your senior year again. So, yeah, no more baseball for Jaden. So that's sad. Yeah, I know. Sorry. Cut you a little bit on that one. But, Colton, you still got your senior year. You know, last year was a crazy year and, you know, ended in disappointment. It's still, even for me as a baseball guy, I mean, just that loss is still shocking to me. But, you know, what's your future for baseball? I know you have some D1 offers, right, and you want to play at the next level as well?
For baseball?
Yeah.
I'm committed to Long Beach, so I really can't wait to get down there and just see the coaching staff and get ready for that opportunity. And then baseball season this year for Buchanan, you know, I'm really excited for that. I think we're going to surprise a lot of people this year. So, but I can't wait to get to Long Beach and start doing that.
Yeah, you guys graduated a lot of seniors from last year. Pitcher or a position player? Where do you see yourself next level?
Next level, I'm going to try to do both. I know it's harder to go two-way, especially in college, but I'm going to attempt to do both, but for sure pitch. I've always loved pitching and just having the ball in my hands and being able to control the game. So, I'm definitely going to try to do both, but for sure pitching.
And you guys open up league after last night's bye, September 30th, Clovis West away, then Central, then Clovis, and Clovis North, and then Clovis East, right? As far as I'm concerned, I feel like the track is very, very balanced this year, right? There's nobody that you're looking at right there like, oh, we got them. Ooh, shoot, maybe we don't. All right, that's a team this year. Like, what are you looking forward to? Let's just say that first game against Clovis West September 30th, because they got a nice air attack. They got some guys over there.
Yeah, like our coach said, Coach Mitchell said, the track is like the SEC of Central Valley football. And so with every team, you can't go in there being like, we're just going to go in there and win and you know. Yeah. But we got to work hard and practice and just prepare for every single team. I know Clovis West, they got some guys,
yeah,
some athletes really on the perimeter. And so it's going to be a good one. I think it's going to be a shootout kind of.
Yeah.
But I know our defense will do their job and hold them to a minimum.
Yeah, that's sure. going to be a fun game. All right, we got about another minute here. Got to talk about your shoe game. So when you're on my show last year, Jaden, you got some Fresno State shoes. Yes. What are you rocking today?
I'm rocking the Jordans, the red Jordans. I was gonna bring out the black Yeezys. So I had the white ones. Mm-hmm. I had some black ones now. So I was gonna wear those because I knew you'd get a kick out of it. But
wow, I like those, man. When I think Jordans, I think those. Like you go to a store and you see Jordans, you see like 20 different pairs, and they're all a lot of, you know, 18 of them are weird looking, but yeah, classic Jordans for me. Colton, you got anything special? Or you just what you got?
I got the snakeskin Air Forces on right now. It's actually a funny story. I actually got them from Jaden's uncle Ryan. So yeah,
he walked in the game room and was like, yeah, hey Colton, what size shoe you wear? He's like 12. He's like, you want these? And Uncle was like, yeah, I want
100%.
Them.
All right, so out there, Uncle, I'm a 10 and a half, so next time I see you, you better be holding out a pair of shoes for me for all the love I've given you and your nephew over the years. All right, thanks, guys. This is a lot of fun. I've enjoyed watching you guys over the last 3 years. A lot more football to be played. Congrats on all your success so far. And Jaden, you know, staying in the Valley, and Colton, your commitment to Long Beach State. Congrats. You guys have definitely earned it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having us.
You bet, yes, you bet. All right, we'll be wrapping everything up on the Central Valley Sports Report after the break on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Carry on, my wayward son, by Kansas. Signals the end of my show. Oh, that was a lot of fun. Just went off script a little bit as far as talking with those kids at the Jaden Mandel and Colton O'Toole. But, yeah, Buchanan's got a really good football team, and those guys are two dudes that are definitely leading the way. Thanks to those guys. Thank you to Yosef Ferris, Justin Garza High School. Thank you to Brian Wells from Fresno Unified. And thanks to Gabe Camarillo. Thanks to First String Sports, as always, and Jorge Rodriguez. We'll talk to you guys next week. Remember, Thursday, Central and Clovis football, and Friday, Kingsburg and Washington Union on 1430 ESPN. I've been your host, Paul Metters, and we will talk to you soon. Once I rose above the noise
and confusion. Your home of the Las Vegas Raiders, 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.